You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, joined by my co-host Ray Jeezy. What's going on, Ray?
Hey, what's good, Wole? Lou Peterson, what's good, bro?
Oh, Lou, are y'all here?
Hey,
Lou, oh, shoot. What's up, Lou? My guy. What it do, Lou?
Hey, Lou, what's going on with DMV Sports, my guy? We got the Wiz. We got the Commanders. Who's winning out here? I'll tell you what, Howard basketball, they winning. And look like Gary Antoine Russell about to have a big 2024. I'm just saying, because Lou, he on that boxing tip, baby.
Yo, Lou a Cowboys fan, though. So you can't say, like, Commanders with Lou. Lou a Cowboys fan, dog.
I'm just talking about the DMV. he's DMV all day. Southeast DC to Southeast Laurel, baby.
Man, them basketball fans, man. You already know, man. Memories, bro. The 3-on-3, Lou. Let them know our 3-on-3 hooping. You know what I'm saying? Even we had to call back Bryce back in the day. We used to have some meat.
Hey, that's when I could hoop, man. When I was playing with Lou, I could hoop, bro. But respect to Lou, because Lou was out there playing in his 40s, and he was good. He could hoop, man. I'm struggling in my 40s. I pass the ball a lot these days.
Man, yeah, props to Lou, because Lou's cardio was something mean back then. Now we getting Lou's flowers. We're going to do that. Y'all might not know who Lou is, but we're going to give Lou's flowers.
Yeah, hey, Lou's cardio is mean, bro. YouTube channel too, man. Yeah, Light-skinned Lou. Live with Light-skinned Lou.
Yep.
Dope boxing content. One of my favorite episodes, Lou, was when you had Shushu on the show, man. He's gonna be good. I don't like Top Rank. I like Top Rank, but then again, I don't. But Oshaki just signed with Top Rank, by the way. Oshaki Foster. So shout out to him, man. He got the bag. But yeah, man. Bruce Carrington, that's Shushu. Nobody knows it, but I think he's up and coming. But shout out to all the DMV fighters, man. Check out Light-skinned Lou, man.
Right? Those 303s was lit, man. We used to wait to everybody leave. We had the gym to ourselves. We used to go for a minute, bro. A minute.
Pause.
Y'all, man. If y'all listen to us, y'all don't know. Y'all don't even know. What'd you say? You said pause?
You said we used to go for a minute, but go ahead though, bro.
Pause. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the pause, man. Appreciate that. Anyway, I mentioned Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN, Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcast. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, listen, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. My bad, Wole. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, of course, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene, hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene, and of course, check out our FB Facebook page. We just got a like on Facebook. Listen, we out here heavy, fam. You got to check us out. Also, go to footballgarbagetime.com. Check out our picks. I know, Wole, I'm going out of order. I'm getting it out the way. Wole's coming up with his picks. He picked Washington. They lost. Stop picking them, brother.
I barely pick them. Don't do that.
It's finally Football Garbage Time versus Urban Sports Seed Challenge. Just check out footballgarbagetime.com. Shout out to those guys, Hakun Wong, and, of course, Ryan, Wole's adversary.
Yeah, you ain't lying. He is my adversary. Hey, you mentioned the Facebook page already?
I did.
Okay, so you said I went out of order. You called me off guard. Like, you was all right. What you talking about going out of order? You was in order.
Yeah, because you said also join our Urban Sports Team Facebook group. Just search Urban Sports Team. You didn't say that yet, but hey, check out there.
Oh, yeah, that you talking about. Yeah, you're right. I do it then. Yeah, I will do that. Also, join our Urban Sports Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Team, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, man, let's get into our tradition of the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Commanders losing to the Seattle Seahawks in their upcoming game against the New York Giants. Then at 8:30, we'll debate whether Eric Bieniemy should be the next head coach for the Washington Commanders. And finally, at 8:45, we'll discuss if Bilal Coulibaly should be inserted into the Washington Wizards starting lineup. All right, Ray, but first, Ray, you would get a chance to be on our post-game show for All Burgundy and Gold everything. So I am really intrigued to see what you have to say about the game on Sunday. In a close game, the Washington Commanders fell to the Seattle Seahawks 29-26. Ray, what were your thoughts on Washington's performance?
There are people, like I mentioned before, remember the post-game with you, Doug, and myself, where people were calling Washington the moral victory champions or something like that.
Yeah,
but you know what? I don't believe in moral victories either. I just said if you a fan of the team or you cover the Commanders, you can't be mad at that game on the road, hard fought in an environment like Seattle. Sam Howell, again, proving his worth. EB proving his worth. I feel like the defense, they had their moments. It's just they needed one additional stop. Also, Joey Sly, he dropped the money, my friend. I think he's the one that's kind of skating by right now in terms of fans talking about what went wrong. If he doesn't miss early on, might be having a different discussion. But maybe it doesn't change the outcome. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the mindset is different.
Yeah, I agree. No.
That mental piece is real, man, in terms of how you approach the game. But I was impressed with how the team performed. You just came up a bit short, but it's just in a bad spot during the season where you still trying to get hot and you want to make a potential playoff run. I don't care what people think about the team. That's the goal. And I feel as though they played pretty well. I feel as though the running game could be a bit better. It could be a bit more used in the first half, especially. But overall, man, I like what the Commanders did against the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, you heard me talk about it, but since for this audience, I think defense is trash. I know Ray said I think they're just flat out trash, just in terms of what they've consistently are doing and how everything's schematically set up. And we saw Mayo on Smith Jigba. Yes, in Jigba. It's Jigba for the end of silent. Smith Jigba. We saw him on him, and that's a mismatch. You can't have Jackson. I'll call him Jackson for right now. You can't have Jackson, Mayo on Jackson at all. Period. You know what I mean? Like, that makes no sense. That's a mismatch in any stretch of the imagination that dude cannot cover. So why would you have him on a guy from one of the better rookie wide receivers coming out of the draft? And why would you have him on him? So I think that's schematically, that's a problem with your defense coordinator. So it's the same old. Like, at the end of the day, like, this defense is what it is. And yeah. They give up explosive plays. You had St. Juice getting exposed by DK Metcalf. I know people complain about the PI call. It was a PI. Like, you know, could you say it's petty? Maybe, but it was a PI. And at the end of the day, like, if you watch St. Juice often, he holds a lot. Like, he grabs and holds. That's his game. Like, he does that a lot. He gets a holding call and he grabs. He's very touchy. So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, you're putting a lot on Sam Howell to be better than a rookie quarterback. Like, you're trying now, they're trying to like graduate him to like one of the better quarterbacks in this league, and he's playing well. But you don't, if you're coming into the season, we talked about this. Like, if you were asked us, any of us, that he was gonna play this well, we'd be like, dang, like, all right, Washington would be a really good team. We're gonna play this well.
But oh, I called it.
But we would.
Oh, you would think they would be better off.
Be a better off team. Like, a lot. Look at some of the pundits. They thought Sam Howell would have a vicious struggle. Like, if you look at the stats, he's the leading passer in the NFC. You know what I mean? In terms of yardage. So I just feel like this defense has set them back. You have one sack against Geno Smith, who tends to hold the ball, doesn't get the ball out of his hands quick. You had one sack. You didn't bring any pressure on him like that. And the only sack was Jonathan Allen. We talked about this team, and we had a heated discussion on our pregame show about the pass rush, but like this, like, you got rid of two dudes and you still having the same problem. And to be honest with you, it's much worse. Like, it's much worse. So I just think that, yeah, if you're looking at it, for me watching Commander games, I'm like, I just want to see EB and Sam Howell. Like, I feel like that's the most consistent two that I get to see, like, any offense, like EB, because it represents the old offense. Sam Howell, he's a quarterback, so he dictates who gets the ball. But in terms of the defense, you're going to get what you get. Like, they haven't changed anything to a point where you can say they're turning the corner. And in this Seattle game, they didn't turn the corner. Like, this team was getting explosive plays. This team was still able to drive the length of the field. You just want this defense to rack on a couple of three and outs, and they're not doing it. And you know, I'm interested to know your thoughts also in the game of, like, the Emmanuel Forbes being ejected in the game. Like, did you think
that was terrible? Mm-hmm. Now, before I go there, I just want to say this, because it's been a lot of discussion about should the Commanders make a change amongst the coaching staff. And I'm watching the Raiders make a change. I'm not saying midseason change are always the spark that's going to change the season or turn your season around. But what I'm saying is the Raiders made a change. And they've been undefeated since. We saw the Bills just make a change. Ken Dorsey let go. We've seen multiple changes around the league. Coordinators, why are fans acting as though it wouldn't make a difference if there was a change made, especially Jack Del Rio? That's the name that's been coming up across social media. I know we got listeners all across every social media platform. That's what I want to hear. what will be wrong with them making a change, especially considering the expectations that this defense had and all of the good players that the team started with. And then you lose Chase and Montez, but they still are a talented defense. Now, getting to the ejection, I'm with everybody else. Emmanuel Forbes, he's probably going to get fined. He posted right out that I've seen like way worse hits.
Way worse,
and,
sure.
And people didn't get ejected. And it came from New York. I told you guys that in group chat. I'm like, the referees who were officiating the game did not even kick him out. So I don't understand it. I didn't get it. And in a way, I felt as though it was a bang-bang play. He wasn't trying to be dirty. It was helmet to helmet, though, so I wasn't mad at the call, but I was mad at the ejection, no doubt.
I thought that, like, you saw something much worse when if you watched the game with Logan Thomas. Like, yeah. Logan Thomas got – dude didn't get ejected.
Nope.
And that was work. And he intended to do some damage. Like, he intended. You can see it. Like, I think it's Jackson. Jackson for the Broncos, safety for the Broncos. He intended to do damage with Logan Thomas. It wasn't like he was trying to put some – he was trying to put a real hit on him. So I don't – I'm with you. I just think that the inconsistency of calls are kind of get at me. I don't know if Emmanuel Forbes would fare better than St. Juice. I would think you. I mean, I would hope he would, because I believe in Emmanuel Forbes. But yeah, I thought that kind of gave you that eerie, that weird feeling. Like, okay, here we go again. Here we go. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, this going hurt. This can hurt. You know what I'm saying? So when that happened, that was the only thing that came to my mind. I was like, this might happen again. This may be a bad loss. Like,
think about recent history of this team, this franchise playing in Seattle. Remember the Todd Collins playoff game?
Yeah.
You had no offense. You're going up against Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander, a team that's expected to go, compete for
us. That's one better than that. Yeah, it's going before that one, but go ahead, though. There's the one before that one. The one before that, where Carlos Rogers threw and dropped that pick. Everybody, if he caught that pick, this team could have been going something special. That's the one you should really mention. Talk about the one with Todd Collins. You mean you talking about the one that Carlos
like
Rogers?
A true Washingtonian.
Yeah,
bro.
That's the one. Because they were shutting. Because they had hurt. What's his name? Sean Alexander and everything. Like, they didn't. That game looked good. That game was promising. Dude, don't do that. If you gonna mention the one, that's the one to mention. Not the Todd Collins joint, though.
I'm just saying, in terms of offensive performance, that was the best offensive performance I've seen in a while that this team was able to put on in Seattle. That's all I'm saying. Well, it's been some painful memories in Seattle, bro. Sleepless in Seattle is real around Washington.
Yeah, I know. You see, it's actually the title out here on this pod. Sleepless in Seattle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Exactly. So I'm just saying, yeah, I'm with you, bro. It is sleepless in Seattle. I'm still not. Yeah, like this game was winnable because I didn't think it was going to be winnable, but it was winnable. Like, it was
every
very
game
winnable.
Is winnable, Wole. Stop it. Look,
you know what I'm saying? Look, man.
If you want to transition sort of to the Sam Howe discussion, and
yes,
oh well, we already kind of are talking about Sam Howe in a way.
No, go to Sam Howe. Go to Sam Howe.
Well, what, like, I want
to
say
let me play
is this
actually, but all right, okay. Before you go there, did you, what was your thoughts? Hold on, what were your thoughts on this play, though? Hold on, what were your thoughts on this play? And I'm gonna let's see it happen real quick, though. All right, when he hit Diami. So, all right, bro, what were your thoughts when you saw that play? Like, when he hit Diami out there?
Again, I was like, Sam, is that dude? Like, social media was lighting up. I was lighting up.
I was lighting up, bro. I ain't gonna hold you. I was screaming. I was screaming this mug, bro.
Here's what it is. When you give him time, that's what you get.
Yeah.
When you protect that guy, I mean, most quarterbacks, of course, you say you give them time, they're gonna light up.
No, still, I mean, you could predict
in that moment.
Zach Wilson, he ain't doing nothing. Go ahead, though.
In that moment, you're right. In that moment, though, on the road in a hostile environment, and he finally found Diami. We were waiting for that. Many of us knew that connection was coming, like fantasy football, baby. If they were just a little bit more cohesive during the season, baby, we'd be seeing that should have been like the third or fourth touchdown connection between them.
True.
He's missed Diami by that much times. But again, in that moment, it shows that he not only has the physical tools, but he has the mental edge to do it. So that's what excited me. But what I want to know from the fans is, and I want to get your thoughts, is when Sam Powell doesn't perform well, the offense doesn't perform well, EB gets blamed. You compare him to Scott Turner. However, when they perform well, it's more so Sam Howell more than EB. EB's, he's overcome EB's play call. He's overcoming this. What's up with that, man? The numbers speak for themselves. And again, we keep going to Mahomes' numbers. They've dipped. So I'm just wondering why fans seem to be slow to want to anoint Eric Bieniemy as this guy that's turned around an offense that has struggled. And we couldn't even sniff 30 in D.C. for some time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And it's something we want to talk about later. But I just feel like people have their favorites. And they have their reasons. And now we get in detail about that later. They have their reasons. But in terms of Sam Howell and his play, I just feel like, you know, we're talking about three games in a row where he's over 300 yards. Like you said, Ray, in a game where there was a secondary like this, like the Seattle Seahawks arguably had one of the better secondaries of football and young good secondary players, especially the kid out of Illinois and Witherspoon. And you saw how they played in the first three quarters, how that secondary was looking. And it was kind of hard for like Jahan and Terry to get separation from those DBs and just to come up clutch in that last quarter, knowing that your team needed you. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people thought that, and I said this even on our other show, the pregame, I wasn't sure he was going to get 300 yards, and he got 300 yards with three touchdowns. And in terms of like the EB play calling and whatnot, I know a lot of people want to run the football, but you know, when you got running backs like Brian Robinson Jr., he didn't run the football. And if you look at his average yards a carry, it wasn't like the best anyway, but for EB still found a way to utilize him. And says EB and Sam Howell found a way to utilize Brian Robinson, especially in the pass game. He had six receptions for 119 yards and a touchdown from a running back for a so-called powerhouse running back. Had that type of performance, you know what I'm saying? You don't usually look at a Brian Robinson and think that he's a guy who can catch the ball out the backfield, but he utilized, you know, but EB and Sam Howell utilized his skill set, and he was very dangerous in the pass game. So, and you saw what Antonio Gibson did in the pass game with that touchdown reception. So, to me, I feel like, to your point, Brad, I just feel like, we'll talk about it, but EB has done a great job. Like, compared to what we saw last season and to this season, EB has done a great job, because you told any. Like, dog, we saw, bro, people have revisionist history or their memory or whatever. But, like, people before the season started, everybody was saying, like, yo, EB's going to struggle. They may struggle because he's got a young quarterback and you got a so-called a first-year play caller. EB's was calling plays in Kansas City, but they kept saying that he was a first-year play caller, whatever, that he would struggle. None of them dudes if you said in the beginning of the season, Washington would be averaging about close to 3 to 4 points more than they did last year, right? They're in the middle in offense, in total yards and offense. They were in the bottom half. They're in the middle in total yards and offense with a rookie quarterback. None of these dudes would come out and say that. EB's doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like, yeah, I mean, Sam Howell deserves a lot of credit, but the EB definitely has to play a part in that. Like, people got to give him his flowers as well.
Hey, you don't have to argue for me, brother.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, but yeah, like, so, Ray, you mentioned this. Like, I want, like, we're still talking about Sam Howell, man. Ray, you talked about this before the season, but Sam Howell continues to light the league on fire. Ray, you said, like I said, you said in the beginning of the season, you said that Sam Howell was the first or second best. Would be the
second. I said he would end up the second best. I still think Jalen, you had to give it to Jalen right now.
All right.
Hurts is still number one in my eyes.
So we're at Sam B right now.
I got Sam right there, number two, bro. Because of his development this season, yeah. His growth from the end of last year to now. Also, you got to think about the years that Dak has with him. So I feel like we kind of grading Sam on a curve, and mm-hmm. this is where I expected him to be. Honestly, mm-hmm. I expected him to be the second best quarterback in the NFC, so I just thought he would have led his team to more wins, although he can't control everything, of course. But I know he would like to have a few throws back, some interceptions from earlier in the year. Yeah. But at the same time, man, again, where he is and at this stage of his career, I got him right there, second best quarterback in the division. Dak played well in Philly, though. He played well in Philly. I will give him that.
Yeah, Dak has been so – all right, so actually I'm going to pull this up. But I'll do that later. But in terms of I'll pull up some stats real quick. So Sam Howell has about 20. He's passed for 2,783 yards, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He had the quarterback rating of 91.5, completion percentage of basically roughly, let's say, 67%. Jalen Hurts, 2,347, 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, quarterback rating of about 97, completion percentage of 68.9. He has 7 rushing touchdowns. The Philly push is amazing. It's immaculate. Dak Prescott has 2,415 yards, had 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, completion percentage of 70%. And also his quarterback rating is at 105. So, you know, looking at the stats, you're going to argue, some people are going to say, look at the ratings. They're going to say that Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott are the better quarterbacks. But I do think we have to put everything in its context, right? Like, those dudes don't have the offensive line that Sam Howell has to deal with. So Sam Howell's putting up numbers like this with a porous offensive line. Those dudes are protected by good defenses. Sam Howell has to kind of run the team, right? He is the leader of this team in terms of, like, they rely on Sam Howell to play well. Because we've seen games where Dak hasn't played well, but the defense has kind of showed up against good competition, right, Ray? Same with the Eagles. Like, Jalen may have not had the best game, but his defense has been kind of lights out to a point where they've consistently bailed him out in certain situations. Sam Howell has to play great for this team, has to play at a high level for this team to win games. Like, he can, at this point in time, he cannot play average football to win games. And I feel like that's a lot of pressure compared to what any of these other dudes have to deal with. Could these dudes deal with the offensive line that Washington had put out there and still have productive numbers? I don't think so.
That's a good question, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not even biased though. That's the wild part.
Yeah.
I'm not biased at all. It's just what I've seen out of Sam Howell, what I saw out of him in college. And my man Couch Coach Live came on last week. You know what I'm saying? He said the same thing. He's followed him since high school. Everybody after that touchdown throw, you saw what they post? Sam Howell is him. He's him.
It's him. Yep.
He's him. Yep. Again, you can't always find quarterbacks who at that stage of their career can also have the mental toughness. You see the team I root for, Desmond Ridder, had a difficult time bouncing back, and the turnovers continued because it was mental, man. He was struggling. Yeah. When you win it, it feels good, but you really tested during times of adversity. And Sam Howell always is a leader, too. He's not just somebody who is able to bounce back from a bad throw or from an interception. He also takes accountability after the game and say, you know what? Like, even the throw that you thought Jahan should have caught at the end of that Philly game,
yeah,
he said, if I can get that ball back, I'd have made a better throw.
Yeah,
and again, that's leadership qualities, baby.
Yeah.
Not everybody does that. I saw Aaron Rodgers on many times throw his receivers under the bus, bro. Even some of his better receivers because of ego. But Sam is not that guy, man. Unfortunately, I feel like Rob, as much as I love Robert Griffin III, I think ego got in his way at
easily,
one
bro.
Point.
That's the truth, though. That's the truth.
I'm just saying, I don't want to be too harsh on him because he did a lot of good things as a rookie, and in a way revived his franchise at one point in time as well. And his career ended up ending here for real against Seattle, if you look at it. But not being funny, but I'm just saying.
I know you were here to say.
If you look at the history of quarterbacks here, outside of maybe Kirk, man, this is a guy that you want to have represent your team in front of the media. And you want him to be the face of the franchise, so to speak. I think so. Yeah.
So in terms of, we had a poll on X, where do you rank Sam Howell in the NFC East? 39% had first, 44% had second, and third, and 17% had third. No one had last. So that's good, right? No one had him last. Yeah, I do think, I feel like off of what Jalen did last year and what he continues to do this year, I think it's true. Like, I wouldn't be mad you should have Jalen over Sam Howell. In conventional thinking, you should have Jalen over Sam Howell. But I do think that people should also put in context that Sam, if you put Jalen here in DC, do you think Jalen has the same type of success? And I don't think so. I just think that, again, EB probably would do some things to help him out. But I don't know with this offensive line. Like, Jalen holds the ball. Like, he holds the ball. But again, he's allowed to hold the ball because his offensive line is so good. Sam Howell can't hold the ball. They have to kind of change things up, more quick game and whatnot, and get the ball out there quick because the offensive line is bad. So it's a little different. Their situations are totally different.
They're both mentally tough guys.
Jalen Hurts, I agree.
He's dealing with that Philly media. he took them to a Super Bowl and had them, I mean, on the verge of winning. Really, defense cost him that game, if you look at it.
Yeah,
and
that,
still,
that game,
he takes a pummeling in the media for whatever reason. If the Eagles lose, he's the fall guy, typically.
Next, bro.
A.J. Brown, who, at least from my vantage point, didn't make a lot of noise in Tennessee. Now, he seems to speak out, or he seems to be animated on the sideline.
Talking more. Yeah, you're talking about, definitely. He's talking way more.
His behavior has changed since he's been on the Eagles, at least from my perspective.
You're right.
And Jalen Hurts has handled it like a pro. So I think they both mentally tough. Jalen Hurts has overcome a lot of adversity in his career. He knows the bright lights. I can't say he wouldn't succeed here. He can make plays with his legs. He does hold the football. But Sam Howell, I just can't give him an eye right now over Jalen Hurts. But if you look at the numbers, though, in terms of passing yards, who's first?
Oh, Sam Howell. But I think Sam Howell's a better throw of the football than Jalen Hurts. I just think, like you said, though, I do think that Jalen is a – I mean, as a football player, you can make the argument that Jalen's a better overall football player than Sam Howell. And I don't think there's nothing wrong by saying that right now. But I think, again, this is if you told me who had a better rookie year in the NFL, it's Sam Howell. Like, so in terms of his progression, if we're going off that alone, and Sam Howell eventually will be better than Jalen Hurts.
Let me just tell you, Wole, as a Commander fan and all the Commander fans that are watching and going to watch this, you need to appreciate Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts was removed from a game that was going to stop Washington from going to that.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate him. I appreciate him. And I appreciate Doug.
So appreciate that guy.
No, I don't appreciate him. I appreciate Doug Peterson. He played Nick Sudfeld. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I appreciate Doug Peterson. That's what I appreciate. No, Jalen played, he would have had no mercy on my squad. I appreciate Doug Peterson for making that call.
And Commander fans, y'all may be lucky we're not mentioning Chase Young. Because speaking of Doug Peterson, he saw Chase Young up close and personal. But we ain't going to go there today. Go ahead.
We're not going to go there. All right, so Washington's 4-6. And we all thought this team would be slightly better. Like I mentioned, Ray, we were talking about this team. We're talking about this team's defense would be one of the top defenses in the NFL, top 10. And then, you know, we didn't expect this offense to be like this. An offense that can score over 20, close to 30 on, you know, right now at this point in time, pretty consistent in terms of mid-20s and in 30s. Have we overrated this team's talent? Or is it just coaching?
It's difficult to say, because this core group of players has been with this coaching staff throughout the 10-year. I'm talking about the Bama Wall, as well as, the defensive backs. I don't know what Cam Curl and what's my man's name from Kansas City? I can't even think of his name right now. I'm losing my mind.
What players?
Kendall Fuller.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, Kendall Fuller. I'm just saying,
this core group of players, Kendall Fuller, Cam Curl, the Bama Wall, this core defensive group has been with this coaching staff for multiple seasons. So it's difficult to say if they're being put in the right position. But I know that the coaches emphasize do your job. And that's my issue with the coaches. So if I lean one way, I'm probably going to say it's the coaching staff, because you have to make adjustments. And I don't know if in-game adjustments always occur, or they always occur at the right time. So if I had to pin it, I'm looking at two defensive coaches that can't get a defensive football team to perform at the level that everybody thinks they should. So, yeah, I think it's the coaches, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's the coaches. So, all right, let's go to the Giants game, because we got to speed this segment up. So the Giants, they will travel to FedEx to take on the Commanders. In the first game against the Giants, the Commanders lost 14-7. Do you think, and EB, that's probably EB's worst game, right? So do you think EB will have a better game plan against the Giants this time around?
100%. It's just a matter of if the Giants come out to play. The Giants are one of the teams that they don't
definitely coach the staff. We just talked to Timothy.
Oh,
definitely,
no doubt. Yeah, I appreciate
definitely coach the staff, bro. Appreciate you, Timothy.
I think the Giants are one of these teams that they're not gonna lay down to a division opponent. So while this season is definitely over, unfortunately, sorry, Mo, they're not going to lay down. So if the Giants come out again and they hit you in the mouth, I want to see how EB responds. EB does tend to be pass happy. We've seen that. I would like a little more balance, just like most other fans. Even if it's not as effective as maybe some of us would like to see, you got to stick with it, I think, because at some point, Sam Howell could even benefit further from a good running game. Right now, he's having a good season. He's throwing the ball a ton. So if you mix in a strong running game, I think that'll make a big difference for him. It'll take some of the responsibility and load off his shoulders. So help your young quarterback out. But again, the Giants come out strong. What are you going to do? I would love to see EB make good in-game adjustments. and stay consistent. Stay consistent with trying to have a balanced approach.
So Timothy also said EB will turn the notch up, and we have to produce. So for me, I expect EB to be fine in this game. It depends. Like, I'm all about do whatever it takes to win the football game and move the football. I've always leaned on running the football, but also I've seen even with the other offensive coordinator, that if you're not productive running the football, like you're not getting a good chunk of yards and on first and second down, and you have your team in third and long, you want to kind of get yourself out of that situation. So this is my thing. If you want to run the football, fine. But if you run the football and it's not garnering any real yardage, like it's still putting you in third and long, then go quick game. Because quick game is still running the football. You're now getting yourself in third and five. The goal is to get yourself in third and manageable, in my opinion. You know what I mean? If running the football gets you in third and manageable, then run the football. If it's not working, then don't just run the football just to run the football for balance. I think we all kind of get into this niche of we got to run the football for balance. But if running ain't effective, then what do you do? You know what I'm saying? Do you still run the football? But then you're in third and long. Now that means the Giants can tee off and can blitz you in third and long. And you don't want that. You don't want to get marked. You don't want Wink in a situation when it's third and long and they're blitzing you because your two runs weren't effective. You know what I'm saying? So would I like them to run Brian Robinson more? Definitely, bro. Like, definitely. But it's up to the guys up front, EB2, to call it the right run play to run the football effectively. If they run the football effectively, then he should continue running the football. So if he's averaging 4 yards a pop, dude, run the football. If they're averaging 2 yards a pop on first and second down, like, yeah, you may want to change up and may want to have to run, do your quick game and throw the football. So because Kansas City, if you look at Kansas City, everybody loves Kansas City. If you look at the rate of what they're doing compared to what Washington's doing, they're throwing the football probably, they're like, maybe they run the football maybe three times more. Their balance is off too. It's just as bad as Washington. So it just depends.
I mean, I get it. But see, my thing is for teams like Kansas City, even Peyton Manning's best years in Indianapolis, they didn't have the strongest running game. But when they did run it, it actually worked. So I think that would make a difference. You know what I mean? But
you got to be effective. That's what I'm saying. You got to be effective.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be effective. Yeah.
I think perspective has changed because, for example, we used to always compare Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans situation. Like, they'll stick with it no matter what.
But now that
you can actually pass the ball, I think it's like, you know what? Sam and the offense is still turning up regardless, so I'm okay agreed. With the lack of balance. Yeah. But when it wasn't a lack of balance and they struggled to throw, it was like, all right,
run the ball. No, I agree. Totally agree. No, I agree. I feel like if you can't throw the football, if you're not good at it, you need to run the football. Like, if you're not good at it, you need to run the football. Because at least you, all right, if you give me 2 yards here, then 2 yards – that's third and six.
That's what Pittsburgh does. That's what Pittsburgh does.
Yeah, because but they don't trust their quarterback like Sam. Right. But Sam is a dude that could get you chunk plays. The problem with playing that style is, like, so that style, to your point, right, I think, again, people talk about playing complementary football, and they always say, like, you keep your defense off the field. But it only works when you're running and you're getting first downs. Like, it only works that way. So if you're running and you're not getting first downs and your defense is bad – and especially Washington's defense that gives up quick plays. Like, dude, if you're running the football, you're not getting first downs running the football. And on the other side, those offenses are getting touchdowns or quick plays, just like we saw against Chicago, right? Like, it wouldn't matter if you ran the football against Chicago on Thursday night, because they were getting touchdowns or DJ Moore was getting touchdowns or quick plays. So it wouldn't matter. So I'm like you, right? Like, yeah, run the football. If you're productive, run the football. If you can't throw it, run the football. But if you're like where Sam Howell is at right now, and you're right, that's the biggest weapon right now for your team, that's the more efficient way of moving the football, then there's nothing wrong with throwing it. But yeah, I'm with everybody. Like, I do get, like, run the football. I understand where people are coming from, but it has to be productive. If it ain't productive, you know what I'm saying? Like, then yeah, I like seeing them throw the ball. And we talk about this, Ray, all the time. Like, they got a talented wide receiver core. Like, sometimes you might want to exploit and use what you got. You just saw De'Ami Brown make a big play, and that's your fourth wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your fourth wide receiver. So you got Terry, you got Jahan. We saw what Jahan was able to do the last couple weeks before this game. So yeah, I'm like, I get it. Like, but yeah, Brian Robinson is so good that you do want him to get, you do want to hold, you do want him to toke the football and be that power back. I get it. I'm not against anybody had to say about B-Rob.
Can I say this real quick?
Go ahead, right? Go ahead.
I think EB wants to run the football for real. I really do. I really think he knows more about football than we do. Like, he wanted to incorporate Rodriguez into the mix because he's explosive when he gets the ball. And it worked for a while, but when you have multiple turnovers in a game, then you got to deviate from that. So I don't think he's had a chance to really put his imprint. This is his first year. We ain't even seen close to what EB, I think, is capable of. So I want to say give him more time. I would just personally like to see more balance, but I'm not saying it has to happen this week.
No, I get you.
Yeah, it'd be dope.
I'm with you, though.
Ball control football works, especially if you got a good quarterback, man.
Yeah, it worked, but yeah, it does. But see, it's wild. Like, if you believe that quarterback is one of them, you just about scoring. That's what it is. You're not worried about, like, when you look at, I won't say Packers, Pat Mahomes is the extreme. But, like, if you got, like, a Justin Herbert, you ain't saying ball control.
No.
You're saying, give me a touchdown.
I got it.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, it depends on how you view your quarterback. I mean, Sam Howell's up and coming. I'm not gonna put him on that level yet, but
yeah. So like, all right, for CJ Stroud, like, RC, that's you, CJ Stroud. Do you ain't worry about CJ Stroud ball control?
Yeah, that's,
like,
that's a different discussion. I hear you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So it's just
I'm not gonna deviate from the discussion. That's a different topic. and it's amazing you bring him up. You out of all people bring him up is amazing.
I know, because I was wrong. But I could be wrong. I'm cool with that. Like. Dude, I know.
I'm just saying that. It's interesting.
He's killing it. And he's Ohio State too. He's killing it, though. So it hurts me to say it, but he's killing it, dog. He's killing it. I gotta give props. You gotta give him his flowers, man. He just beat Joe Burrow, bro. I mean,
got to.
You know what I'm saying? So, all right. So if Ron Rivera loses to the Giants, this horrible Giants team with Tommy DeVito as the quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Like,
who?
Tommy DeVito, like, as the quarterback, bro. Like, could he be fired ASAP if he loses to DeVito?
Looking at X, and what's wild is we just got a post. This guy, his Twitter handle is Howfan Commander Ray. Bro, that's an interesting name, my brother. considering that I'm a Sam Howe fan as well, but I'm not a Commander fan, so the Commander part you can drop. But @BallsHog_Hog81. Hey, shout out to him. He put us a short week after the Giants, so no one will get fired. But the poll right now, Wole, 57%. Got a lot of votes, too. 57% said yes. I don't see it happening, to be honest. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on what we know about Josh Harris and his fixation on analytics, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I do think it's going to rub people to – I'm going to be interested to see what Matt Johnson tweets. Because he loves to tweet. If they lose to a horrible Giants with Tommy DeVito, I just feel, because that dude is not good, bro. Like, he is not good. And if they lose to Tommy DeVito, like, come on. I'm not saying he's going to be fired, but I feel like Josh Harris would think about it. Like,
30. Commanders fans. And Wole, turn up, y'all, please. Why is this even a discussion? The fact that y'all think that this team lose, we're excited about EB in offense, but it's a possibility this team can lose at home to this Giants team. Yeah, what does that say about this squad? I don't understand
It's poorly coached. That's what it says. It's a poorly coached squad. Like, I feel like this defense, you cannot trust this defensive unit. Like, all right, I know we're going back to an old game. When Seattle had the ball, when Deami scored, right, and Seattle had the ball, no – Commander fan in all of sports period, all of the United States. I don't care if you forget that. All of the world. I don't care if you're located in England, you know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're located in the DMV, if you're located in freaking even New York, Philly, or whatever, wherever you are in Africa. They could be a Commander fan in Africa for all I care. There's no freaking every fan thought like, yo, Seattle about to score this. They like said about the score. Like, there was no faith. There was no faith. The people were like, we're going to get this stop. There was no faith. That's why I didn't care. Everybody talking about going for two. I was like, bro, I ain't worried about it. We talking about going for two. Like, they about this. They going to score. Like, nobody. So that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, like, so it goes to coaching. So to your point, it ain't about the talent. Because I believe that I've said this before, on the defensive side of football, I've seen less talented defenders on Washington's team units put out a better output on defense than this team. Period. I've seen less talent. I've seen Greg Williams. When Greg Williams came to town, he had them boys balling. This thing had them boys balling. Thank you, bro. Jack is trash. Thank you, D. Wilkins. Trash. I'm serious. I've seen less talented Commanders defense put up better performances than this defense. Period. Though I've seen some bad Commander cornerbacks too, and they was better than this. Bad Commander secondaries, and they were better than this. So I don't want it. Like, to me, like, you got an offense that can finally do something, and you're struggling to win games because, like, your defense is that bad. Like, you can't trust your defensive unit. You play people like Mayo, Ray. Like, for real. Like, that's something that you would be comfortable in playing. Like, that is a problem to me. Every, like, you ain't got to be a football fan to know this. Like, you can watch it as a novice and be like, all right, he ain't good. Like, why does he keep playing? Like, why does he keep playing? And you're like, oh, no, is he the only one? That's going to be a thought process. Is he the only one? Like, Jabril Cox has to be way better than this dude, bro. Like, it gets to a point when you are that bad. Like, yo, trash. Mayo is trash. So, to me, Ray goes back to it. Like, yeah, when you talk about, dang, man, the Giants are bad. Like, for them to be a possibility. Yes, they're a possibility, right? No, why they're a possibility? Because you got Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera manning that defense, and they are trash. So, it's a possibility.
Okay, so you're going at Mayo constantly. He's a player. It speaks to Ron not just being a coach, but also one that has been in charge of personnel decisions.
Yeah, there's some bias there. Like, I don't get why you like Mayo so much. Like, I don't even understand why that's the thing. Like, why? Like,
can we stop? I don't even understand. Mayo?
Yeah, I don't care. Like, he's trash, right? Like, it bothers me. Like, it's like you. It's like, I think is he his long lost son or something? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand the fixation on playing Mayo, bro. Like, there are so many bad players that they play just because they want to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, Nick Gates. Why were you playing Nick Gates in the offensive line? Let me go the other way. Like, why? What took you so long to know that he wasn't good? Like, what took you so long to know he wasn't good? Like, for real. The Giants game was the only game. Like, bro, he's been bad for a minute. Like, he was bad for a minute. Hold people accountable. Like, that's all you need to do. Bill Belichick would have been like, bruh, you out of here. Like, you're not going, hey, you're out of here.
Bill Belichick is a different breed. I mean, they cutting folks on Tuesday, bro. They're not playing no games.
When you bad, when you Mayo bad, you need to be cut on Tuesday.
Listen, I think it's a matter.
He did
of,
Gates. Yeah, he did make that Gates call. True that. Like and Wiley too. That's right. Yeah, I don't know about Gates, but definitely Wiley though. Definitely Wiley though. Go ahead though. Definitely Wiley.
I think it does come down to coaching simply because, again, just the level of play over the years that Ron has been here. He's gotten a pass, man. I mean, the way you guys are talking about him, you wonder if a change will be made. But I think it'll be Jack before it'll be him at midseason, to be honest. And it'll come from the top. I don't think Ron could fire his boy. I really don't. But making a coaching change, some people say, for what? Why would that matter at this point? Might as well ride the season out, but it's because many want to see what EB can do if he gets the interim position.
And speaking of EB, bro, you're good segue, dog. You're good at this, right? Hey, if Ron is fired till the end of the season, forget the Giants game. He's fired at the end of the season because Ron ain't keeping the job. We already know this. Let's keep it a buck. Should Washington's new GM, because Martin Mayhew ain't gonna be the GM either. Washington's new GM make EB the new coach, or do you think they should go and bring the new GM should bring their own guy?
Now, you definitely want to make EB the coach. Uh-huh. There has been a lack of consistency just for many years here. You've had Terry McLaurin, how many coaches, how many quarterbacks, how many, I mean, he's seen a lot go on, man.
Yeah, true.
And
oh, Scott
if
Turner.
You start oh, Sam Howell from scratch, basically, I think you're going to see some regression because it's a learning curve. Uh-huh. If you keep EB here, you see the Antonio Pierce effect in Vegas, right? They're on the same, they're on the same diet plan too.
Yeah.
And if you see how this dude has motivated a group that people call Washington West, Commanders West, then I think you're going to keep a guy who's more of a rah-rah, who's more of a motivator, who's a former offensive player, who knows how to put up points in this league, who's won Super Bowls. I think you want that experience here. Listen, the history of this franchise is rich, my brother.
Facts.
There's trophies, multiple trophies in that trophy case in Ashburn. EB also has those trophies. That's the goal. So if you want trophies, you keep EB. You hire Ron for diversity. I like Ron. Don't get it twisted. But you hire that man for diversity. You didn't hire him for trophies. So if you want trophies, if the goal is to win a Super Bowl, if you want to take the team back to DC, back to the city, EB is the guy. And he's black. Now, I'm just saying, I'm a little biased, even though I'm a little, you know, light, like, but still, hey.
Dark skin, though. It's all good. It's all good. And we got a poll, man. Like, do you on X, do you want EB to be the next head coach for the Commanders? 82, I'm surprised. 88% said yes, 12% said no. It was a nice little number too, folks who voted.
Yeah, you're gonna have your detractors out there who they're not gonna like it regardless.
I'm surprised though. Like, real talk, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that
Magic Johnson, ownership, new stadium in the city. You talking about trophies, we talking about winning culture. I think EB's that dude, bro.
Yeah, I think he should be the head coach. I don't really understand. So, Ray, this goes back to what you were talking about earlier. I kind of wanted to save it for this discussion. So, you was asking me why, like, you know, does he have his detractors and his, like, haters or whatever? And I don't, it's wild because I don't understand it. I don't get it myself. Like, I try to sit back and, like, because we watched football for years. And even if you're not an expert, we kind of see the trend, right? We see a trend. And you got a young quarterback and he's showing progression with the offensive play caller. And the team is showing improvement and the quarterback is showing growth. You're trying to want to keep them together. So you tend to kind of like say, okay, I'll make him. The goal is to make him the head coach. And I'll probably get another defensive guy to run the defense. Right. And cause you keep that rapport with the quarterback, right? Like you keep that rapport with the quarterback, offensive coordinator, quarterback. Right. So you keep him as your head coach because your quarterback is your CEO of the team. And like, you want to make sure your quarterback's happy. And you can have EB as the head coach, and he can just hire his own defensive coordinator, and it works that way, right? We've seen that in football everywhere. Like, we've seen that in Dallas. We've seen that in Green Bay. We've seen it in multiple places where you keep the two together. And I don't get why people, like, they try to nitpick on what EB doesn't do. Every play caller has something. Like, for instance, Mike Martz was a Super Bowl offensive coordinator. He didn't hate running the football. He hated running the football. But we didn't talk about it. We said Mike Martz was a genius. We said he was a mad genius. You know what I mean? Like, but here, for some strange reason, we want to dwell on, okay, we need more balance. And we do. We do need more balance. That's a fact. No one's knocking that. But we make it seem like it's the biggest deterrent in the world. It makes us think that he cannot call plays. Like, this dude is, like, Ray, you said this. He's a Super Bowl-winning offensive coordinator. We are debating if a Super Bowl-winning offensive coordinator with one of the best franchises in this era of football, with one of the premier quarterbacks who hasn't had the same success this season so far, yet early, and we're acting as if we're too good for Eric Bieniemy? Like, I don't know. We can have Eric Bieniemy back. Like, really? Like, for real, like, where does that ever happen in football, period, where you have a guy who's improved your offense, has taken a quarterback, and I'm going to use this term, I don't like using it, but a fifth-round quarterback that everybody said he's a fifth-rounder, he wouldn't be successful, and now this quarterback is leading the league in yardage, or the NFC, I think it's the NFC, leading the NFC in yardage. Come on, bro. Come on. Come on. We're scoring over, dog, Winston, the last time we scored points like this is Jay Gruden. It's under Jay Gruden. And everybody loved Jay. And everybody loved Jay as an offensive-minded coach. That's the last time we scored points like this. And again, I'm going to say this. We're doing this with a rookie quarterback. Jay didn't do this with a rookie quarterback. Nobody did this with, like, other than Shanahan with RG3, no one's had this type of success with a rookie quarterback. And again, he's doing this with a piss poor offensive line. Those teams had Trent Williams. Those teams had Morgan Moses. He has who on his offensive line? And we out here complaining, and we out here literally complaining about this dude as a play caller. Like, come on, man, what are we doing here? Like, real talk, what are we doing here? Because I can nitpick on multiple offensive coordinators. Ray, we old enough to notice that wasn't folks hating on Andy Reid to a little bit about him not running the football? In Philly, they were like, oh, Andy Reid, sometimes he gets too pass happy. What was Andy Reid doing? Dominating the NFC East. folks on our side of town would be like, damn, man, Andy Reid, like, he's just the best coach in the NFC East. That's what we would say on our side. People in Philly would be like, Andy don't run the ball enough. But on our side, we'd be like, Andy Reid, or most of the league would be like, Andy Reid is one of the better minds in football, period.
Yeah.
Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Like, why do we do this as fans, bro? Like, I'm listening to Ray. I'm listening to the radio, and I'm hearing. I don't care. I'm like, this is what pisses me off, and I'm venting now. Now it is. Now it's happening. I listen to the radio, and I listen to Ron Rivera's pressers, and I'm hearing the questions about EB. Like, wouldn't you like to see more, like, to run the football this or do this more? I'm like, bruh, y'all say everything negative about trying to throw every type of shade about this dude. And again, this dude is better than some of the people y'all stuck up for. Y'all the same ones that said that some of y'all the same ones that said that Sam Howell shouldn't play last season. Y'all the same ones. Now y'all all on the Sam Howell bandwagon. Y'all the same ones who say he shouldn't even touch the field last season. Before, y'all said that he shouldn't touch the field. But then when he played all right against the Cowboys, then y'all tried to detract y'all statements a little bit. Man, I'm sick. I don't want to listen to some of y'all. None of y'all talk about EB. Because EB has been that dude for Washington. He is the common denominator. We talk about what's happening in Kansas City right now. They ain't the same offense. Look what's going on here compared to last season. It's a different offense.
Hey, Wole, what I'm going to say is this. You got McVay, O'Connell, Shanahan. When people get out the building who are actually really good at this, then it's the complaints. Oh, look who we could have had. Look who we had.
There you go,
okay,
right?
Now you got a guy. Yep. Who actually is putting up numbers, and he's developing a young quarterback who can be a franchise quarterback, which you haven't had. I'm trying to say, listen, you better support this dude, man. You got to do it now. Whether he's the coach in waiting or whether he replaces Ron midseason, that's up for debate, because we don't even know if Ron is going to lose his job. We doubt he's going to lose his job anyway. But in terms of supporting EB and EB bringing a culture change, man.
You don't think he's losing a job next season?
I'm talking about midseason.
Oh, I'm talking about for next season. I'm only talking about next season.
Yeah, yeah. True. My bad. Well, EB's the guy, then, no doubt. Yeah. 100%.
So if you look at the stats, EB stats, right? Just look at the Commander stats right now. Like, right now, in terms of offensive yardage ranking, they're 16th. Last year, they were bottom half. They averaged 21 points per game. 21 points per game. They're 17th this year. They're 11th in the red zone offense. 11th. Last year, they were 24th. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is in terms of TDs, touchdowns. Scott Turner averaged last season, averaged 18 points per game, but 19 points per game. You know what I'm saying? I love it. Your Jack need to go. I'm with you, homie. You do. I'm just annoyed, man. I don't like that one thing about, I don't like that narrative, man. I feel like, I be seeing it, man. I be seeing it with these beat writers, these Commander beat writers. I be seeing that narrative, and it's like, I'm like, what do you don't like about EB? So I think he put Sam in a bad position, a bad predicament. Like, he does. All I see Sam is getting better. I don't see Sam in a bad predicament. Y'all weren't big Sam believers before the season, but now you are. The reason why Sam is playing well is
culture. Comes down to culture.
I agree, bro.
You ask anybody play for him, Tyreek Hill and others. They'll tell you about who EB is, man. We have Breland on this show talk about who EB is.
Exactly.
Gotta change the culture. Got to, bro. Even amongst the media, they need to change.
They need to change.
I don't know what it is.
They need to change. Cause this is something that needs to stop. It needs to stop. Cause they a little extra, Ray. They very extra.
It's all right. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here, bro. All right, man. We talked enough about the Commanders. Time to talk about some Wizards. We're gonna close the show with some Wizards talk. All right, Ray, rookie, Wizards rookie for Bilal Coulibaly has played well of late, including a 20-point game against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. Ray, do you think the Wizards should consider starting Coulibaly?
100%. Mm-hmm. You and I talked briefly about him last week. He's the future of your franchise. We asked the question last week, can you build your franchise around him? We both think you can. Mm-hmm. Might as well start now. ESPN Power Rankings. Basketball, NBA, mm-hmm. Wizards are number 30, right below Detroit Pistons, who have had a number of injuries. You know what I'm saying?
I see you, D. Wilkins,
but appreciate you, D. Wilkins, man. What has happened for a long time in this franchise? Mm-hmm. For one, I remember attending the NBA draft years ago when it was at what was then known as MCI Center. That year, Elton Brand went number one. Steve Francis went top five. Steve Francis, of course, went to Vancouver. Anyway, that whole draft, it didn't matter what the Wizards did. It was everybody in the stands who were Wizards fans were saying, West must go. Talking about West, I'm still at the top. I mean, of course, he's passed away, and we know he's a legend for this franchise. But now his son is here, and there's a lot of people saying he must go. If you want to try to even salvage this season and your job, I think you got to insert this young boy into the starting lineup and allow him to grow and develop. And I think he's going to become – and he's got a dog in him. I think he's going to become that dude.
Yeah.
I really do. I just feel as though right now, where else are you going to go at this stage of the season when your season is already on the verge of collapsing? Luckily, in the Eastern Conference where, to be honest with you, you know, you win three in a row, you're right back in discussion for a play-in spot. So it's not over yet. And this is a
play-in spot. You think they're contention for a play-in spot? They can get it?
No, I said if you win, let's say three in a row, you're right
back. Yeah, shoot, that's true. That's right. You're right.
I'm just saying it's not the season isn't gone yet. Yeah, and you got this young guy who's talented, who's the future of your franchise. You're right, bro. And I see a lot of comments on social media agreeing that this dude, he needs to be in the starting lineup. 100%.
Yeah, a lot of them, like 90 something percent says he should be in the starting lineup. And they're like, a lot of folks are saying, like, why not? To your point, Ray, like, why not start him? Like, why not start? And that, to be exact, it is about, I just had it added up, 92% have, like, they believe he should start.
And see, I mean, certain decisions can be damaging long term. It's just like we talking about Wes Unseld Jr. being a coach. His dad traded away Chris Webber. People still are mad about that. You get Mitch Richmond in return, who's aging, and Chris Webber goes to Sacramento, and every year they challenging the Lakers. Every year, man, on TV,
every year,
exciting basketball. Facts.
Every year we are. Every year,
and we're over here watching. We watch so many players leave this building and go win championships. Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace. It's annoying, and we got look at KCP. We add him to the list, even though he didn't play here long. But come on, man, keep the talent you have here, grow him, develop him, allow him to become a star in the league. You can become a star in Washington. John proved that. Brad proved that. You can do it here. Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, facts. On X, District of Buckets said no reason he shouldn't be. Wes Unseld Jr. needs to slot him in the starting lineup every night. My man Steve said the reason he isn't is because we have a terrible coach. Yeah, if you hate, I told you I like Wes. It's wild. People are Wes. My man Steven Newman said backcourt should be Poole and Coulibaly. He called it Coulibaly. Gave him a nickname, Jordan Poole and Coulibaly, Coulibaly. I like Tyus Jones, the point guard. Y'all know me. I'm like biased with Tyus Jones. But yeah, I think that he should start. He should start. I think he should start with Denny Avdija. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Denny can come off the bench. I think he's starting to feel it. You know what I mean? If you watch him play, he's starting to get into it. He's starting to get comfortable. He's shooting the three ball a lot better. Ray, like you said, he plays with a dog. He's not scared. I think he wants the challenge. I think it's something that this is the guy you're building around. So I think Coulibaly should definitely be the one. I think he should start. I don't think there's an issue. I don't think would be an issue with it. I mean, Denny got a good, nice little pay. But he's the type of player that you can bring off the bench, and he can still do what he does. Because you're not trying to, like, what is your overall thought process of Denny in terms of what he's going to score? Do you see Denny as a 20-point scorer? No, he's not a 20-point scorer. To me, you'll be fine with him scoring 10. You can do it off the bench. You score 10 points off the bench. You know what I'm saying? And Coulibaly, to me, is a guy who could give you 20. So why would you have
bright spots? You need bright spots. You and I briefly talked before we came on about this whole controversy about the broadcasting team and how Ted and management wants to see positive, I guess, commentating or commentary on his team. It's like, hold up, really?
Yeah.
And look at what's going on. So if you want to insert culture change, you got to get this young guy in the lineup. You got to and allow him to lead your team. That's just where I'm at.
So I'm looking at right now, the Wizards are getting blown out by the Dallas Mavericks, 114-91.
Without Kyrie,
you're right. Denny Avdija has Coulibaly has 3 points, 19 minutes, 3 points. One for two from the field, one for three, six rebounds. One assist, three personal fouls. But I said, like, him having only two shots, he needs to get more shots. Like, he should get more burn. Like, he has 19 minutes. Denny has 10. Denny has 20 minutes. He should get more minutes. I mean, it's the fourth quarter right now. He should get more minutes than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he should get, like, you should be featuring him. Just like we talk about in another sport, like how EB has utilized Sam Howell in terms of throwing the football a lot to make him a better player. Well, you need to give – I think Coulibaly needs more playing time to make him a better player. Like, put more through him. Put more on him.
He's the process. When Joel Embiid was young, they were feeding that man early and often. Now that's where they are, man. Start him now, baby. He is the Washington version of the process. Book it.
I like it. Book it.
Not anything less. The brother can hoop.
Yeah, I like Coulibaly, man. I think he deserves more playing time. He's a guy that this Wizards team can run through, and they could be, you know, I don't think they're going to be good anytime soon, but with a couple of years, in a couple of years, another draft pick with Coulibaly, they'll be fine. Because I'm not going to lie to you, I don't think Jordan Poole is it. So
that's another discussion. I appreciate you for being here, though. You declined the assignment. You could have been, you know, posting short to Luca right now, but you
could have
been here on the show.
I came for the look, bro. This is what it is, dog. You know, the Urban Sports and everything, man.
As a close show, I know we somewhat still talking about the Wizards, but I've been getting some serious like fire from somebody on X, which doesn't happen. That's why I'm posting
about
what
you,
much, bro.
You get fired for
exactly.
What?
About a comment I made about Ed Reed being the potential Southern head coach, like. I'm not enamored with celebrity coaches. I haven't had a chance to respond.
You're talking about HBC, somebody like Avery being where?
At Southern University as a football coach.
Oh,
so.
Somebody's
coming at me like with some fire. I'm like, seriously though, bro. But anyway, that's enough discussion. I just want to tell that person, even though they're not watching right now. Like
how you know they ain't watching? They always watching, bro. Everybody watching. They watching, bro. They watching you, Ray. Cause you right. You're watching, you dog. Is he consistently? Is this person consistently coming going at you? Consistently?
No, I don't even know who this is. But I'm just saying they coming at me. So I'm gonna try to have some regular discourse. If it don't work, then
That's what's up, man. You know what? In these HBCU streets, man. Keep coming to my boy Ray.
The HBCU streets is not too bad. It's the Commander streets that kind of are a little frustrating. I watch from the sideline. I watch you go back and forth with folks.
Oh, I love it. But you know, I'm extra though. I love the smoke. I'm extra though. I love it.
Yeah.
Like I love it because I've learned to be respectful. I'm like, I like to take people's opinions and be like, okay, that's your point. That's your opinion. Oh, because I even tweeted Craig Hoffman about Eric Bieniemy.
I saw it.
You saw it.
I mean, but see,
I wanted his reasoning.
He's respectful in his point of view, and he again, you can talk with him. You can have a discussion with him.
Yeah.
But not everybody you can have a discussion with.
Nah, because everybody want to act like they want to be demonstrative. Like they know everything. You know what I'm saying? Like. That's all. Like, I mean, I'm all about let everybody get their word out, man. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, just keep it. Like, I just say the truth about what you feel about Eric Bieniemy. Oh, I didn't want to say this or ask you this though.
We back to Bieniemy.
Nah, it's not Bieniemy. It's actually it's a larger problem. Not just
go ahead.
It's a larger problem.
Oh gosh, what is it about black head coaches?
What happened? What I tweeted? Like you saw it. So I feel like there's a stigma. There is a stigma when it comes to black offensive coaches. Like they don't get the opportunity like a black, even, I mean, not seeing a black, like black coaches don't get chances. Like the chances, we all know it's an issue with black coaches in general, but I feel like owners are more inclined to go after the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
An offensive coordinator. That's
Ty Bowles, Raheem Morris.
Yeah, if you look at the
that's obvious.
Because I feel like when Eric, good. Because I feel like it's the reason people when they talk about Eric Bieniemy being he's a problem or whatever. It's more than that. Like to me, I just feel like it's a lot more than we've interviewed some of his people. I just feel like owners are more comfortable. Because offense sells tickets. Teams are like nowadays, they want their offensive coordinator to run their teams. And I just feel like folks don't be going with the offense. Jim Caldwell is a great coach. How many chances did Jim Caldwell get, offensive-minded coach?
I mean, I get it. I know you don't want to count the Dolphins coach.
I counted him. But he's one. But that's different, though. I feel like that's because it's the reason why he's, you know, there is
because he's lacking melanin. That's not good, bro.
I feel
that's
like, you know, Ray, you already We claim him. I'm going to claim him. We do know how certain people think. That's all I'm gonna say. We know how certain people think. I'm not saying that he ain't. I think he is. He is to me. I'm just saying that folks will look at him a certain way and be like, "Oh, he passes." That's all I'm saying. And it's not a knock on him. To me, you gotta drop. Like, he black to me. He black. I'm not going to say it again. I believe he's black. He black. I'm just saying that. We're talking about the thought process of ownership. I think that they were more inclined.
Well, if it is an issue, what I'm gonna say is from a positive perspective, just look at the amount of black coaches that have gotten opportunities. Even Antonio Pierce coming off the street. People complained about Jeff Saturday last year. Yeah. Antonio Pierce is in a similar spot. Brian Flores. Yeah, well, I know, I'm just saying. Yeah. But it's still progress, though. So
yeah, it's progress.
It's gonna have to go to that point to where more maybe black offensive minds will get more opportunities. And we're just not there yet. But the black quarterbacks are evolving.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So, okay. I mean, it all takes time. I don't necessarily agree that they don't get the opportunity. I just don't think that there's many right now.
I'll say this much.
Fit the bill.
I'll say this much. I just want to see what happens with the Eagles offensive coordinator. Young, okay. he fits the mold. Young, forget color. Young, good offense. And usually that's like, all right, we want to steal from your tree. Like, this, your offense has been very successful. We want to steal from you. So I want to see if he gets an opportunity next year. I want to see if he's a leading candidate. That's what I want to see. I want to see that. If he's not, then I'm like, all right. Then I'm like, okay, here we go. So, but yeah, but that's real talk. You know what I'm saying? To our old school segment, we being real, that's real talk. All right, May. This has been great, man. Good talking to Ray. I'm glad you indulged me with that question. I just wanted to get your point of view because I've been going at it on social media as well. People have agreed with me from all colors. Have agreed with me, so I do feel like
color doesn't matter, man. I don't think it matters. I think it's just some people are setting their ways. There's some people who love Scott Turner, just like Heineke is still beloved in here, even though, yeah. So
I'm saying folks. I'm gonna say folks people, agree with me,
but it's okay. I'm okay with people having their opinions. I just want people to be rational with it. That's
all. I agree.
But if you're not, again, I can't control folks. That's why we pick and choose what we do and who we talk to, and we keep it moving. But numbers speak for themselves, and Sam Howell, EB together are putting them numbers,
bro. Anyway, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X, I'm about to say Twitter, on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene. I like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Like this video and subscribe to this, to subscribe to our channel. Hit the red subscribe button. Appreciate it. We got all love for y'all. Appreciate the folks who were tuning in and who are chatting with us. Y'all are really
peace.
Definitely the H. And my man Lou, we got to reminisce too at the beginning of the show, man. Appreciate the homie Lou, D. Wilkins as well. And Timothy too. Check out the home of the urban sports scene, Amplifier Media, at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to listen to hear all of the Empire Media shows as well as other great content. All right, man. Thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. I know I'm being real redundant, but it is the truth, man. Without y'all, man, y'all help us get this thing going and get this thing popping on this new platform we kind of embarked in, and it's been kind of working. So we appreciate y'all. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Deuces, A Mega. Lead us out big, homie.